it translates to in purport by His divine grace. The Supreme Personality of Godhead, directly and indirectly, knows how everything, including the living force, mind, and intelligence, is working under His control. He is the illuminator of everything and has no ignorance. He does not have a material body, subject to the reactions of previous activities, and He is free from the ignorance of partiality and materialistic education. I therefore take shelter of the lotus feet of the Supreme Lord, who is eternal, all-pervading, and as great as the sky, and who appears with six opulences in three yugas, Satya, Treta, and Dwapara. Purport. In the beginning of Srimad Bhagavatam, the Supreme Personality of Godhead is described in this way. Janamadya asya yato anvayad itarash charteshva abhigyaha. The Lord is the origin of all emanations, and He directly and indirectly knows everything about all the activities within His creation. Therefore, the Lord is addressed here as Vipaschitam, one who is full of all knowledge and who knows everything. The Lord is the Supreme Soul, and He knows everything about the living entities and their senses. The word Anidram, meaning always awake and free from ignorance, is very important in this verse. As stated in Bhagavad Gita, chapter 15, text number 15, Mataha Spritir Gyanam Apohanam Cha. It is the Lord who gives intelligence to everyone and who causes everyone to forget. There are millions and millions of living entities, and the Lord gives them directions. Therefore, He has no time to sleep. And He is never in ignorance of our activities. The Lord is the witness of everything. He sees what we are doing at every moment. The Lord is not covered by our body, resulting from karma. Our bodies are formed as a result of our past deeds. Karmana deva netrena. But the Supreme Personality of Godhead does not have a material body, and therefore He has no avidya, ignorance. He does not sleep, but is always alert and awake. The Supreme Lord is described as Triyuga, because although He appeared previously in Satyayug, Tretayug, and Dwaparayug, when He appeared in Kaliyug, He never declared Himself the Supreme Personality of Godhead. Krishna Varnam Tvisa Krishnam Sango Pangashtra Parishadham. The Lord appears in Kaliyuga as a devotee. Thus, although He is Krishna, He chants the Hare Krishna mantra like a devotee. Still, Srimad Bhagavatam, the same reference, Canto 11, Chapter 5, verse number 32, recommends Yagyahi Sankirtana Prayer Rajanti Hi Sumedasaha. Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu, whose complexion is not black like that of Krishna, but is golden, Tvisa Krishnam, is the Supreme Personality of Godhead. He is accompanied by associates like Nityananda, Advaita, Gadadhara, and Srivas. Those who are sufficiently intelligent worship the Supreme Personality of Godhead by performing Sankirtan Yajna. In this incarnation, the Supreme Lord declares Himself not to be the Supreme Lord, and therefore He is known as Triyuga. Om Ajnana Timirandasya Jnananjana Shalakaya Chakshurun Militam Yena Tasmai Shri Gurave Namaha Vanchakalpatrubhyascha Kripa Sindhubhyevacha Patitanam Pavanebhyo Vaishnavebhyo Namo Namaha Shri Krishna Chaitanya Prabhu Nityananda Shri Advaita Gadadhara Shri Vasadi Gaura Bhakta Vrinda Hare Krishna Hare Krishna 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 Hare 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 Rama Hare Rama 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 Hare Hare. So the reading from the chapter called Demigods Appeal to the Lord, the time where the demigods headed by Lord Brahma approach Shvetadvip to invoke the attention of Lord Krishna. And in doing so, the head of the celestials, Lord Brahma, he begins to recite prayers. And during the course of the recitation of his prayers, he realizes that there is one particular personality of the Lord who is most munificent and all-merciful. And therefore, in two ways, through the Sanskrit verse, we can see and understand that without disturbing the present age wherein Lord Brahma was reciting those prayers, and at the same time to invoke the result of his prayers, he propitiated the Lord in the form of Lord Chaitanya Mahaprabhu. The name Triyugam is one of the principal names of Lord Chaitanya in the Vedic scriptures. And in particular, that name is used to describe one unique person as an expansion of the Lord who only appears as a devotee. And therefore, Lord Brahma is bringing to his mind the form of Lord Chaitanya. So throughout the Srimad Bhagavatam, there are various portions where especially you find that rather than Shukra Acharya, who is the Brahmin priest of the Asuras or the demoniac race, probably not the best word to use, but Prabhupada uses it, demoniac race. And because the Asuras are actually a particular type of species, and it's not necessary that they're always demons. So for example, Bali Maharaj, although he was the king of the demons, he still attained the lotus feet of Lord Sri Krishna and is celebrated as a devotee. But nevertheless, the literal translation of the word Asura is indeed demon. So whereas Shukracharya and other personalities are not able to bring to their mind the form of Lord Chaitanya, probably out of the celestials, apart from Lord Shiva and Lord Brahma, maybe even Indra has a difficulty in understanding this particular form. And therefore you find that in certain prayers, where it's required that the demigods are desperate to invoke the presence of Krishna, then they will use particular names by which even the Lord himself becomes attracted to understand that someone is calling my name. Because Lord Chaitanya, he has a principle that whoever calls upon his name, he appears. And therefore the demigods, in order to cheat the Supreme Personality Godhead, sometimes uses a word of Lord Chaitanya, despite that personality not having anything to do with that particular age. Sometimes that name is invoked in kalpas and universes wherein there is no manifestation of Lord Chaitanya, but still, because of the great manifestation of Krishna in that form, therefore you find in certain passages of scriptures, Lord Chaitanya's name is mentioned. And Prabhupada, at the end of his purport, he has emphasized this particular word time and time again. Because this particular word, Sumedasa, is the opposite of what Krishna says in the Bhagavad Gita. Krishna says in the Bhagavad Gita, Alpamedasha, that those who are completely foolish and have no ability, whether according to their past karma, present karma, or maybe even their future karma, to understand me. Because it takes millions and millions of births of perfection to even understand that there is the Supreme Godhead. Bahonam, Janmanam, Ante, at the end of such perfected lives. Everything in the entire creation, the past, present and future, Vasudeva Sarvamiti, is Lord Vasudeva Krishna, the son of Vasudev. It's really important. Because sometimes what happens is there is a tendency to try to block and divide Krishna in his pastimes. So for example, in doing so, we'll focus upon the so-called manifestation of Krishna as Shyamasundara in his childhood pastimes. And then we will classify Krishna as Vasudev and other less intimate forms in his later pastimes. Although this is a ecstatic view of the Acharyas, I don't think this is recommended by the ordinary devotees to focus upon. Because when you find that when this happens, then there is an element of becoming sentimental. Because Lord Krishna only spent a few number of years enacting his pastimes in Vrindavan. Those pastimes are not instructive. It's really important to mention this. And this is why you find that after Lord Chaitanya left, generations and generations of his own devotees in his succession all deviated. until the seventh Goswami, Bhaktivinoda Thakur, appeared. And therefore, there's a problem where devotees or those who worship Krishna believe that Krishna only manifests in his full form as his childhood lila. Because for another 120 years, Lord Krishna spent so much energy and effort in trying to be instructive. And therefore, the Srimad Bhagavatam Mahabharata focuses upon those years. And even in the Bhagavatam, you find only a few chapters within the 10th canto focusing upon Krishna Lila. Because this is, in fact, the stage upon which the Paramahamsas can meditate and worship the Lord. But the general devotee, even if the Uttamadhikari, Kanishta and Madhyama, they're recommended by Krishna throughout the scriptures to focus upon his instructive pastimes. Bhagavad Gita, Srimad Bhagavatam, how he was living in the world, how he dealt with such difficult people like Duryodhan and Dhritarashtra, and how it was that he reciprocated with one of his most dearest devotees, who is glorified as a Mahajana, who fought against him. Who was in such difficulty that Bhishma, despite being a celestial himself, the Vasus, a Mahajana, his life was dictated in such a way that he had to wage war against Krishna. So how did Krishna deal in those circumstances? And how is it that in our own lives, our loved ones, or maybe our co-devotees, who are going against our principles that we believe in, even those principles to be Krishna conscious, how is it that we deal with them? We can learn from Krishna's dealings with Bhishma, or to speak of the dealings of non-devotees. And therefore you find that within this particular verse, and many, many verses in the Bhagavad Gita, when the word Vasudev is used, it also indicates Krishna in his childhood pastimes. Because in the Vedas, when Krishna is invoked, he is invoked in such names rather than Shyamasundara or Murli Manohar or other such names to try to harmonize the form of Krishna outside Vrindavan and the form of Krishna inside Vrindavan. And that said, it is still okay to appreciate, I think that's a key word, the word appreciate, the ecstatic meditations of Krishna specifically being in Vrindavan and then outside Vrindavan after his Bala Leela from the time he went to Mathura. And in this way, we can understand that there is reason to add credibility to Krishna's pastimes outside Vrindavan as instructive, very important, simple sub-religious principles, how not to lie, how to be honest, how to be disciplined. These aspects you will not learn, or one cannot learn, from the Paramahamsa level of seeing Krishna's pastimes. But you can learn this from Krishna's behavior outside of his Bala Leela, which he spent so many years in focusing. So the word Alpamedasha is described for somebody who hasn't attained neither perfection, and certainly not perfection, for millions and billions of lives. The word Bahu in grammar is used to reference plural. So Eka, Dvi, and Bahu. So Bahu, meaning plural, is unlimited. So Krishna is mentioning that somebody who is unlimitedly perfected, life after life after life, he comes to understand that everything is Lord Sri Krishna. Now that very same word, Alpa, Meda, is being reflected, and the opposite is being used in this particular verse of the 11th canto, wherein Chaitanya Mahaprabhu is being described and is also being mentioned on the type of people who worship him, and that is Sumeda. The word Su means beautiful. But the word Su also acts as a upasarga, wherein a word has an opposing effect literally by certain syllables that create an opposite meaning. And therefore, order the word Medha, which means intelligence, is used in a way to describe how you are unintelligent, and especially empowered through the word Alpa. The word Su is making that very degraded word beautiful. It's making it magnanimous. Because Sanskrit, every single syllable in Sanskrit has a purpose behind it. And what's quite interesting to understand is how out of many, many words, for example, 65 words to describe the word water, Krishna would use a particular word because he is trying to describe water in a particular way that also carries other meanings that you can understand depending on one's level of either textual or devotional merits. And therefore, sumedasha, that what to speak of millions and millions of perfected lifetimes. Somehow, even after going through that stage, if there is the specific blessings and the anugraha, so the graha, which is sometimes described as very simply mercy, has such a deep, important meaning, anu, that the type of mercy that allows one to follow the person who has bestowed the mercy, anugraha, that type of mercy that allows one to come to that person. Sometimes you have mercy to attain material acquisitions, or you have mercy to attain mental peace and prosperity. And these are all mercies from the Lord. Nothing can be obtained without Krishna's mercy. But anugraha, the specific mercy which is repeatedly described throughout the 12 cantos of Srimad Bhagavatam, is that type of mercy from the Lord that allows you to come to Him. So when an individual attains anugraha, after perfected so many hundreds of millions of births, then they come to the platform of being sumedha. And what is the result of that? That one accepts the form and the personality and the discipline of Lord Sri Krishna Chaitanya Mahaprabhu. That is why this verse is so important. It has so much meaning behind it. And for us, who, by the mercy of Srila Prabhupada, and I don't think, maybe criticized for saying this, but I don't think anybody in the past, pre-Srila Prabhupada, was able to do this, and forgive me, especially on the day of Vasant Panchami, wherein the celestial Saraswati is adored, that I think even the demigods had a difficulty in doing what Srila Prabhupada did for unlimited millions of years. Therefore, I remember when Lokanath Swami mentioned about Prabhupada's 100th centennial, he mentioned that we should promote Prabhupada in a particular sentence. Nabhuto nabhavishyati. A personality who has never appeared in the past, and a personality who may not appear to the same capacity in the future. And actually, come to think of it, Prabhupada's uniqueness in his appearance, to me, personally, I can understand sometimes by realizing that although we may have a tendency to try to see the ultimate form of Prabhupada on others, I think the fact that that cannot be done by people within our movement and outside our movement goes to describe how Prabhupada is unique. See, sometimes what would happen, it's very natural that one would try to see the full personality of Srila Prabhupada in others. And the problem is that when for our own understandings, we are not able to see, or very clearly, we can see that an individual is not able to imbibe Prabhupada in his entirety, 100%, then we may think less of a person, whether that be a spiritual master or somebody else. But actually, that just goes to describe how Srila Prabhupada is ultimately unique. And therefore, it's actually impossible for somebody to be 100%, 100% imbibing everything of Srila Prabhupada's nature. And therefore, that makes Prabhupada unique and the Acharya. And then we can also appreciate that those who are trying to follow Srila Prabhupada and in understanding his mood and trying to imbibe those qualities are doing their best. And sometimes when individuals are devotees, no matter what level they're at or what service they're at, when sometimes they may go slightly under according to our expectations, it's a very horrible word to use, our expectations, because what tends to happen is that the individual, me of course, and I'm sure other people do as well, that we try to see people through our expectations. not through their own limitations or weaknesses or their own expectations. And then sometimes in that view, we may consider somebody less of a person. And in the Bhagavad Gita, Krishna, he completely goes against this philosophy. In fact, he goes to the greater extent by saying that even if my devotee performs the most abominable activity. Now, it's very important to mention because Prabhupada used the word, Krishna used the word sadhu. The word sadhu means excellent. It doesn't actually mean technically devotee. Yes, we use the word sadhu to mean devotee. But what does the grammatical, actual word sadhu describe? It means excellent. So an excellent devotee. Now in English, I don't think you get anything more than excellence. Okay? You have an A star in your GCSEs, parents will say, you've done excellent. Okay? Yeah? So excellent, there's a limitation in English, okay? In describing words. Especially because English is an offshoot of Devanagari or Sanskritam. So therefore, the word sadhu eva samantavya, that even if by devotee commits the most abominable activity, they should still be considered a devotee, saintly, because they are on the correct path. So through this verse, we understand that Krishna is forgiving. He is compassionate to the ultimate extent. He believes, in that verse, we can understand from his nature, critically, okay, critically, scholarly, that Krishna is a person who gives people second, third, fourth, tenth, 1 million chances. Providing you are sticking to the path. Providing your goal is to attain his personality, his service, his dham, his abode, Krishna considers you saintly, even if one commits the most abominable activity. Or to speak of a devotee who on the path commits a minor discrepancy. Or maybe even major. But Krishna is asking us to have that mentality, to still consider them saintly and a devotee. So Sumedasha are for those people who at the most highest perfected stage attain Chaitanya Mahaprabhu. Jai Shri Radha Gokulnanda ki jai, Shri 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 Lakshmana Mahana ki jai, Shri Gaunitaya ki jai. And the Sumedasha platform, although we as devotees may not feel that we are qualified to be on, Prabhupada gave us that qualification. Just by his mercy. He gave us the qualification to be recipients and representatives of this verse, Sumedasha. And I think it's quite honest to admit that it is with Srila Prabhupada, owing to his connection with Bhaktisiddhanta and Bhaktivinoda Thakur, the acharyas that revived everything that Lord Chaitanya lived for. Everything that Lord Chaitanya sent throughout his disciples and his instructions. The Supreme Personality of Godhead appearing in the most elevated advent. He comes, he descends, he passes on messages, would get literally destroyed. And then particular acharyas appear many generations later to reestablish them. And Prabhupada is the ocean of that benediction that Chaitanya Mahaprabhu initiated, carried out, then passed on through his descendants, broken. It seems like to be a pastime. Yoga Nashta Parantapa. It seems like there's a pastime that whenever Krishna descends and he gives instructions, the parampara gets broken. And you find that whenever the parampara gets broken, it gets reestablished in more power and more wider. And therefore it comes to mind the principle of whenever there are issues in life or society, something good comes out of it. Sita kidnapped, Ramayana. And obviously Ravan and his entire race destroyed. Draupadi, the symbolic representation of all feminine energy in this world, gets disrobed in public and Krishna speaks Bhagavad Gita. And in fact, we're able to live, I would say, from the outside, in a civilized world, because of the Mahabharata. The Mahabharata was a war which had every king, every monarch, every country, and the entire globe, from America to Russia to China to England to Europe to Australia to Southern America, France. Every country came to Kurukshetra and they fought. Unfortunately, majority on the side of Duryodhan. Unfortunately. Which is why when those kings were massacred by the arrangement of Lord Shri Krishna, those countries became barbaric. And they re-began their history. You find that the histories of the various countries around the world just coincidentally happened to be after the Mahabharata war. I wonder why. Because the kings didn't return. With the way the Vedic culture was flourished around the entire globe, the monarchy was key to corporate punishment, to law and order, because this was Krishna's idea. And everybody followed it, because it worked. And it gave the land peace. But the problem was, without the monarch, it was chaos. And therefore, barbaric forms of life entered every country, excluding India. Because in India, Janamajaya, Parikshit, and the descendants of the Pandavas still maintained the order of Lord Krishna. And therefore, when Krishna saw that the entire world is now going to become devastated because the monarchs of the various world will not return, Krishna then asked Yudhishthir, towards the end of Kali, towards the end of Dwapur, beginning of Kali Yuga, to do the Ashwamedha Yajna. Because for the Ashwamedha Yajna, the horse, the celestial horse, white-colored with black ears, that's sent during the Yajna around the entire globe, he checks to make sure who is following the order of God and who is not. And for those who are not following the order of God, Yudhishthir had Arjun and Bhima behind the Ashwa of the Ashwamedha Yajna to put things right. And sometimes they would use the sword, or sometimes they would use the book. And in this way, Krishna, he proactively tried to harmonize the world. Yudhishthir was complaining. My uncles are dead. My cousins are fathered. My grandfather is massacred. He was depressed. Krishna was saying, put that aside. There's no time for this. You have to continue on your duty. We set out through the Mahabharata war to make sure there is universal peace in this world. And after the war, there is a problem. And you have to put aside your own expectations, your own problems, and be focused upon my instructions and go out to now do the post-war activities. And therefore, I want you to do a yajna. And Yudhishthira was thinking, what is going on? One moment you're involving me in this war. I have a blood-stained body. In my dream, all I think of is red blood. I have nightmares of people coming up to me, asking me, why am I headless? Why am I limbless? I have widows saying to me that my father, my sons, and my generations have been destroyed by you. Wherever he is going, he is seeing inauspicious omens rushing past his left-hand side. I won't mention the animals, because I'm sure some of us online, RSPCA involved, but particular animals are going past him, which has a negative nimitta or omens. He's been attacked internally and externally after the war of Mahabharata. And he's asking Krishna for some help. He's calling his counselor, God himself. And Krishna's saying, okay, fine, put it aside for now. You need to focus upon others and forget about yourself one moment. Yudhishthira was thinking, so what do you want me to do? A yajna? You want me to sit and pray? I've got so many things to... I've got this widow to organize. She has no home. Her kids are orphans. And there are millions of such people. And Krishna is saying, no, you need to do the Ashwamedha Yajna. Because why? Through one effort, you can change the world. And through trying to organize the lives of every single individual, you will get nowhere. And therefore, Yudhishthira reluctantly sat in for the many, many years of the performance of the Ashwamedha Yajna. And it is the results of Krishna's performance of the Ashwamedha Yajna that we have a civilized society wherein people have values, people have rights. And you will find historically this is all because of the efforts of Lord Krishna. Whether it's language, Krishna, he personally ensured that the languages were re-established across the world. And he, in fact, even allowed Prakrita Bhasha, which is languages that are concocted from Sanskrit, where Bhratra becomes brother and Matra becomes mother. It was there's no problem. Let those languages be the languages of outside India. Of course, that Sanskrit became very degenerated in India too. And in this way, Krishna established the entire basis of a functional society. So much was done after the Mahabharata war. And even in the Mahabharata war, after it was all completed, and Yudhishthir asked Bhishma that how is it possible now for me to continue with my life and think of peace and prosperity in this world, because I can see that after Lord Krishna's departure, there will be chaos again. And as a result, Bhishma recited 1,000 names of Lord Krishna. And in those 1,000 names of Lord Krishna, there were two names that he recited, and it is those two names that gave Yudhishthir his satisfaction in life. It is those two names that gave Yudhishthir eternal peace by knowing that Krishna will come again. And when he comes again, he will do something that he did not do as Krishna. As Krishna, he orchestrated the war of the Mahabharata. And when Yudhishthir heard that a person, because Bhishma was the Mahajan, not only of that time, but for all time. And therefore, Yudhishthir knew that Bhishma is the greatest authority to answer my question, because Yudhishthir was a compassionate Vaishnava. And therefore, this question could only be answered by Bhishma. And in fact, Lord Shiva, Lord Brahma, Narada, Asita, Devala, Vyas, Valmiki, Shandilya, Kashyapa, Abhatsara, they all appeared at this point where Bhishma was lying on the bed of arrows and he came forward to respond to the call of Yudhishthir. And what did he say? Those two names that gave Yudhishthir so much ecstasy, that made him feel that Krishna is going to appear in a form that he's not going to do what he has just done. He's going to be doing the opposite. Suvarna varna hemango varangas chandanangadi sanyasakritcham shanto nishtha shanti parayanaha. Every word in this verse gave Yudhishthir his solace. Every word in this verse gave Yudhishthir his peace that he wanted even more than liberation or going back to the kingdom of Krishna, of God. Suvarna varna hemango. Bhishma, he's actually, in this word, he's in a friendly way mockerizing Krishna's form. We say that the Supreme Personality of Godhead is black. Okay, as Bhaktivedanta Swami said. We say that the Supreme Personality of Godhead is black, and yet he is all attractive. And in that form, he did so much in this world that gave Yudhishthir heartache. But guess what? The opposite color is going to appear. Golden color. Gold, which gives people pleasure. Gold, which gives people light. And it is a symbol of love and opulence. The same Godhead, the Black Lord, will appear in a golden complexion. Suvarna varna hemanga. And his body will not be decorated by the shield, by the kavacha, by the mace, by the danush, by the bow and arrow, but his body will be decorated by tilaka, of the beautiful fragrance of sandalwood. Varangas chandan angadi. Anga, adi. Beginning with the head, the entire body. So this means that Krishna is going to appear not as a kshatriya. So there is no question of violence. But even if there is, there is another word which Bhishma uses to give Yudhishthir the second advice, or the second solace. Sannyasa krich. There is absolutely no way that Krishna is going to descend and redo what he has done. Because why? A sannyasi doesn't go on the battlefield with his bow and arrow and his horse. You know? Can you imagine it? All he has is his poor danda, which with one hit will snap. Actually, three dandas. Sannyasa krich. Considering the sannyasis around Yudhishthir, there is no way that if Krishna appears, and he will appear as a sannyasi, he will be anything like Krishna. He would not do all these things. He'll be a sannyasi. He'll be the head of society. He'll be a person who is considered to be the father of all living entities. A father who would never want anything negative performed Even if the child makes mistakes, the sannyasi will forgive. He is the swami of the varnashram system. Sannyasakrit chamaha shanto. And as a sannyasi, just in case, if we have the odd sannyasi like Durvasa, who goes around sometimes causing problems and stirring the cauldron, sometimes blaspheming Ambarish, sometimes running from the Sudarshan. Sometimes telling Yudhishthir and Draupadi that I want my prasad and I want it in 60,000 plates, you know, despite being renunciates, being exiled to forest. I mean, you know, come on, there's a limitation, isn't there, really, of what to expect. But, you know, just in case, Bhishma says that sannyasakrit chama shanto, that this sannyasi will be peaceful. Nishtha, he will be only determined. Shanti parayanaha, to only give that type of peace by which the entire world can become prosperous. And when Yudhishthir heard these words, for a moment, he was shocked. He was couldn't believe that such a form of Krishna appears. This form is a contradiction, because no personality of Krishna appears like this. No personality of Krishna appears as a sannyasi or as a person who's not going to fight. I mean, the Bhagavatam is full of violence. Everywhere you find, Krishna is doing something in some form, whether it's Hiranyaksha, Hiranyakashipu, or whatever it is. Mohini, even Mohini, when he came as a lady, Rahu. You know, even his lady forms are not rid of the tendency to. So Yudhishthir is wondering that how is this possible for this to happen? And before he could think further, and before he could respond and stop the sermon of the Vishnu Sahasranam in the presence of the celestials on the battlefield of Kurukshetra as he is lying on the bed of arrows, what did Bhishma do? Quickly move on to the next verse. Quickly move on to the next verse. So Yudhishthir, only for a moment, he realized this personality, and before he could speak, he moved on, Bhishma. And why did he move on? And why did Bhishma have the opportunity to move on? Because he put the personality of Lord Chaitanya in the middle of Vishnu Sahasranam. In the very same way that bhakti is in the middle of the Bhagavad Gita. Vishwanath Chakravarti Thakur paraphrased by Srila Prabhupada, and I'm sure we all know how the king and the sovereign marches in the center of the display. And therefore the centerpiece is always important. And the centerpiece requires to be protected by either sides. And therefore this verse mentioning Lord Chaitanya is in the very center. And this verse also hints that Krishna is Triyuga. And in the Bhagavatam, in this particular verse which we have read today, the Triyuga personality, the personality who is opposite to all other incarnations, is being described as Triyugam Braja Mahe. The word Mahe is a very specific suffix which is used to give the most greatest honor of worship and respect. And therefore the mantras which are in the chanda or the metric composition of the Gayatri, because Gayatri is actually not one mantra. Gayatri is a chanda, a structure of a particular number of syllables which encompasses various revelations. Like you have Anushtupa and Trishtup. Prabhupada explains at least there are seven. Pankti, Brajati, Brihati, and like this. So Gayatri, in the most beautiful, amongst metric compositions, the Gayatri is considered to be the most superior, and therefore Krishna says in the Bhagavad Gita, Gayatri Chanda Samaham, that amongst the chandas or the meters, I am Gayatri. And within the most elevated and most encrypted form of metric composition, the word Mahe is used in order to invoke the deity of the verse. And that very same Mahe is being described to worship Lord Chaitanya in this verse. And therefore you find the last verse is Vraja Mahe. So this verse is glorifying Lord Chaitanya. And through this verse, Lord Brahma was able to invoke the presence of God, by which Krishna then, through the form of Lord Vishnu, advised Lord Brahma and the celestials to go and make a truce for the churning of the ocean of milk. So this entire pastime, actually, through the words of the Bhagavatam, we understand to be because of the mercy of Lord Chaitanya. So this means that Lord Chaitanya's mercy was available in the past, throughout the entire age of the universe and the entire history of the universe. And in this particular age, we have the opportunity to access the personality behind so much of the beauty in this world, so much of the initiations of the various pastimes of Sri Krishna, done by Lord Chaitanya. We can access that very same personality through the efforts of Srila Prabhupada in his most beautiful extension of his body in the society that we all live in of ISKCON. And therefore, it is an honor and it is the most blissful state of our lives, I believe, to understand that the Bhagavatam allows us to be recipients of the most highest levels described in persuasions of Chaitanya Mahaprabhu's advent in this age. And therefore such verses give us so much hope, and if anything, it makes us more humble to know that we are allowed to approach such a personality who is Mahavadanyaya, Krishna Prema Pradayate. And therefore, Prabhupada mentioned in the purport that the way we can access Chaitanya is through the performance of the Sankirtan Yajna. And that is what will make us Sumedasha rather than Alpha Medasha. Thank you very much. Hare Krishna. Shri Prabhupada ki jai. Have any questions that anybody has or comments?